Last door on the left. You'll hear it.
Thanks.
No problem.
This is how I fight my battles. still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We lift up your name. We declare that you are holy. We declare that you are worthy. We declare that there is no one like you. Father, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness unto every generation. Blessing the sons of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. You are faithful, Lord. God, we thank you for every miracle you've ever given us. We thank you for every salvation you've ever given us, Father. We thank you for every healing you've ever given us. Lord, we thank you for the times when you picked us up out of our brokenness and you placed our feet high upon a rock, out of the sand and placed on firm ground, and we know that we will not be shaken. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, begin to thank the Lord for those situations in your life. Those specific testimonies when God brought you out. Come on, just lift up your voice with a shout to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of our salvation, the Lord our rock and our Redeemer, the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow of turning. We know, Father, that you will do it again, time and time again. We lean into you. We trust you, Father. We lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you. Jesus. Come on, say Jesus. 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 Come on, let's sing that song again. Let's sing it again. Let's sing that chorus. In. Something's happening in the spirit right now. Just tap in. We're not in a rush. Come on, begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in tongues. Press in. Father, we're hungry for you today. We're hungry for you today, Jesus. We're hungry for you today, Jesus, the bread of life, the giver of life, the one in whom we find life, in whom we live and move and have our being. We seek you and you alone today, Jesus. For there is no one else who deserves the glory, the honor, and the praise. We lift you up, King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts, the Rock who is our salvation. We bless you, Father. Come on, just express that in your own words. was going to save this for later, but I just feel to do this right now. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I created you. I have a purpose for your life, and I've set you apart. Today's a special day. Today's a very special day. Today is Pastor Wallace's birthday. Come on, let's just celebrate him. Let's just celebrate it. This is God's gift to Carpenter Shop International Church, to Ahoskie, North Carolina, in the northeastern region of North Carolina. Come on, let's just love on Pastor Wallace. Let's just celebrate it. Come on. Pastor, we thank you. We thank you for being a godsend to this church and to this region, for being our leader. And I want to invite our elders and our leaders up to come, ministers in the house to come. And I want us to lay hands on Pastor Wallace. I want us to just gather around him. I just feel that this is in the spirit right now, that this is something that we need to do. And so if you're a leader in the house, pastors, other ministers, you're welcome to come on forward, please. And let's just gather around him. Let's lay hands on him. And we're just going to stay in this atmosphere of worship. Not only is that word for Pastor Wallace today, it's for every one of us. Each one of us, before we were formed in the womb, God knew us. He had a purpose for us. He set us apart. And each one of us has the opportunity to discover that purpose and to find what it is that God wants to use us to do. There's a world of opportunity just in Carpenter Shop alone, just in Ahoskie alone, and far beyond. Come on, let's just begin to pray for Pastor Wallace. Let's begin to intercede for him. I invite you to stretch your hand toward him if you like. Come on, let's sing. Let's sing that song again. And while we sing that, I want you to be praying for him. The best is yet to come. He's going to do it again. There are greater testimonies coming. Greater testimonies coming. Greater testimonies coming. The latter rain shall be greater than the former. For I have called you and set you apart. Trust in me, says the Lord. Give God one more big hand clap, one more shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're a first-time guest, we want to let you know that you're welcome here, and there's the welcome desk in the foyer. We have a gift for you. We want to meet you after the service, so you can make your way there. We welcome our online audience. We're glad you're joining us today. And before we take up our tithes and offerings, it is Pastor Wallace's birthday, and so I wanted us to sing Happy Birthday. So Lauren, could you lead us in that?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I want to present something to you, Pastor. We're not going to give this to you just yet, but we want to show it to you. Mom, can you come up on the stage? So Mom could do what she wants.
Sorry,
can you come up on the stage? Family, what are you going to do? So I wanted everybody to see this. We are presenting a birthday card to Pastor Wallace today, along with a money tree. So you have an opportunity to make a little gift if you like. This is going to be in the foyer. So after the service, you can have an opportunity to sign the card. Sign it. You're going to have to sign on the back because it's full on the inside. We love our pastor. So come on, let's just give Pastor Wallace one big hand. One more. At this time, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings.
Open arms and open heart, you called me in.
Dave Brunswick with Kingdom Financial Services. We're part of the Generosity Initiative, which was formed to educate churches and Christ followers on practical financial and stewardship issues. We've been bringing senior money matters to churches for over 12 years. These are challenging economic times. Prices continue to rise, but yields on the safest of investments like CDs and fixed annuities are down. So what's it going to take going forward to make sure you don't outlive your savings? And what about taxes? Do you realize that the IRS owns about one-third of your retirement account? Are you aware that when you start to draw income, it'll be taxed? And did you know that you will reach an age where you are required by the IRS to make withdrawals, even if you don't need the money so that Uncle Sam can collect the tax? Many of you already knew this, but you may be surprised to learn that there are strategies to make these taxes optional. You may be able to completely disinherit the IRS. And speaking of taxes, inheritance taxes are an issue for everyone, whether you are well-to-do or of modest means. Even though this state has no inheritance tax, it's still one of the most expensive states in which to die. Now, of course, we'll give you some ideas on how to make those death taxes optional, too. And each attendee is eligible for a free, personalized death tax report. Senior Money Matters will help you to make sense of Medicare as well. This is a free workshop series, and if you join us, we'll even buy you lunch. But you have to sign up so we have enough materials and food for everyone. So, who should attend Senior Money Matters? Well, are you over age 50? Do you have parents who are over age 60? Are you concerned with having enough at retirement that you won't outlive your savings and investments? Are you already retired? Are you interested in learning how to reduce or possibly even eliminate inheritance taxes and maximize the amount that you can give to your heirs and your favorite charities? Maybe you'd like to learn about strategies to increase your income, decrease taxes, and perhaps even help your favorite ministry at the same time. Gee, I guess it sounds like Senior Money Matters is for just about everybody. Did I mention this is a free program? Sign up today and we'll see you there. May the Lord be with you.
Right, Senior Money Matters, we are proud to be hosting that event. That's going to be on March the 14th from 9:30 to 12 back in the Family Life Center. Lunch will be provided after that. You should have seen this flyer at the door. If you did not, you can pick one up on your way out. And there's several different ways to sign up. One, fill the flyer out. You can put it in the offering plate. You can leave it at the sign-up table out in the foyer. You can also sign up online at the Carpenter Shop website or within the app. So make sure you avail yourself to that opportunity here at the church. Amen. And if anybody wants any help spending money, you can come see me. I can help you out with that one. We also have one other quick announcement from the kids ministry. March the 9th, we will be going to the Winterville Trampoline Park. That will start at 10 a.m. here. I'll leave from here at the church. Kids 6 and under will need an adult, and if you are an adult going, you might want to bring your knee brace with you, because I've been to one of these things and it can get pretty pretty intense. But it's always fun to have the parents out and participate also. Kids over 6 years old from 7 up through 6th grade can go without an adult, but we do need to, for you to sign up for that. So Pastor Miranda will be waiting back at the check-in table. When you pick your kids up, you can see her there or Facebook message her, so that we have a good idea about how many kids are going to be participating. One other thing, I'd like to give a thank you to the church for the baby shower that we were given last Sunday. We received a lot of nice things and a lot of love in the house, so thank you guys for that. It's going to be a girl this time, and well, yeah. Pastor Miranda got her girl, so we're going to pump the brakes. We got to pump the brakes here, I think. But we are excited about that, and thank you guys again. We're excited to welcome her into this church family. So parents, at this time, please take your kids to the check-in table and pick them up at end of service. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Gary. Also, in the way of announcements, you'll see a Red Cross announcement there for a blood drive that's going to be held here on Sunday, March the 10th, coming up real quick. And you can go online at redcrossblood.org if you want to shed some blood for somebody. Come on. Amen. Come on. They need it. They need it. Amen. And so we're going to do that in conjunction with Sunday. Red Cross says it's working great for churches to have people there. And they're going to have their staff. They're going to come to our worship service. So great opportunity for us to minister to them. And they, in turn, come to Ahoskie to receive much-needed blood. Also on Monday night, March the 4th, Dr. Sherlock Bally, who is a premier consultant in matters of prophecy for the nation Israel and America, will be at Beechwood Country Club on their Monday night session, which is 6:30. They have Bible study every week. Many of you avail yourself to that. And 6:30 on the first Monday night in March, there will be a free meal. We need to know, though, if you're coming. Amen. It's always better to be able to prepare for people. There's only 200 seats available. So if you'd like to participate in that, please let us know. Let them know at the welcome desk out in the foyer there. And we appreciate that. That's Monday night, 6:30. And don't sign your name if you're not coming, okay? You got that? Come on, say yes, Pastor, I got that. Don't sign your name if you're not coming. But if you sign your name, show up, all right? Because the day's coming when you're going to be judged, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good, isn't he? Let's stand together one more time and just lift our hearts and our voices to the Lord and just pray. You know, it's time for the Word of God, amen? It's time for the Word of God. And we've had a tremendous opportunity this morning to worship him. Don't you appreciate this worship team? Come on. I mean, incredible, man, incredible. You guys do an incredible job to lead us in the presence of God every week, and we don't take you for granted. We appreciate you. If you're in the musicianship or whatever, see Pastor Josh and avail yourself to that. If you can play something, we'd like to have you be a part of the team. We rotate, so we just need you. We need you, and we want you. Praise the Lord. So let's just open our hearts and our voices. Come on, just worship the Lord with me. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we just ask you today, God, have your way. Have your way among us, Lord. We thank you for worship. We thank you, God, that we've already been in your presence today. And Lord, you have spoken to our mind and our spirit. You've encouraged us. And Lord, we just right now just give ourselves to you, Lord, for the preaching of your word. The word says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never die. I pray for me, Lord, today as the one who's preaching, God. Would you just allow me to, Lord, walk in your anointing. To walk in your anointing one more time. In Jesus' name, God, would you use me today to just bring truth, to break it rightly, God, to rightly divide it. There's so many messages out there today, God. People get confused. And so, Lord, let it not be my word. Let it not be my thoughts, but let it be your thoughts. And we give you praise and honor in Jesus' strong name. Come on, sing a little bit. Let's just worship. Let's just worship. Come on, lift your hands and love him one more time. Come on, open your hearts. You can be seated. We're in a series. I'm on my second message from the Revelation 7 churches. The Revelation 7 churches. The city was Smyrna. Has a tremendous theater right there on the Aegean Sea coast. A tremendous amphitheater. Some of you have been to those places where, you know, you have yourself seated. And you start from the bottom and work your way up. You know, we have a conference coming up in August of this year, and I found out where it was. And I said, man, I'm disappointed. Why? Because everything's on the ground level. And so when you go to it, you're sitting way in the back, and you're just looking at a sea of people. But I love those places when it's stadium-like. You know, how many of y'all sitting in the nosebleed section to watch State beat Carolina or something like that? Come on. Anybody ever sit there? I prayed for the anointing. Come on. You sit in the nosebleed section, but the stadium has a tendency to elevate up. And it's been like that for years. It was like that in biblical days. I've seen those places with my own eyes. And Smyrna was no different. Smyrna had this theater, this massive theater that sit right on the coast of the Aegean Sea. And Smyrna was about 35 miles north of Ephesus. Last week we were in Ephesus. Last week we were in that place where Jesus walked among that church. And who better to walk among that church than the one who founded the church? Amen. Who better to give you an assessment of the church than the one who created the church? Who better to speak to you positively or negatively about your church? He told the church at Ephesus, you know what, you got to be careful because you've lost what? Your first love. You got to be careful. Here in Smyrna this week, we talk about the Smyrna church, and Smyrna is one of those churches that was really given a commendation. Isn't it wonderful when someone can say, hats off to you, you did a good job, high five you, give me a fist bump or whatever, because you did such a good job. This is what Smyrna is going through. As we look at this church today and the script literally is unfolded, you'll discover that Smyrna may not have felt the way that Jesus felt about them. Let me say that one more time. You'll discover that Smyrna may not have felt the way that Jesus felt about Smyrna. Sometimes in your Christian walk, it's no different. Someone may look at you and say, man, she looks like she's got it all together. You know, she worships. She's always just so sensitive to the Lord. Or man, he always seems like he's happy. But they may not know, come on, the real story. I don't know about you, but I've discovered this thing called life can be challenging. And would to God that everything would be mountaintop. That would be wonderful. But did you know that between two mountains is something we call a valley? Come on. But in the valley, he does what? He restores my soul. Amen? Talk to these guys in the Old Testament. Talk to David about challenge. Talk to David about struggle. Smyrna was a struggling church. It was like leaving a husky from Ephesus and say we're driving up north to Franklin, Virginia. 35, 40 miles. That's the way it is in the biblical sense today. Jesus was talking about Ephesus, and then he goes northward and talks about Franklin. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing, 35 miles away. And while it boasted beauty and popularity, the city of Smyrna was known for pagan worship. Idols lined the streets of that city. I've been blessed to be in 29 countries other than America in my life in ministry, largely because of you. Because you've always blessed and you've always sent and you've always helped. And I've been able to step on the soil of 29 countries and minister in many of those. And I've always noticed that when you go into major cities, India was the one of the nations that I went to first. And you know, I was walking around India, and I remember just like, man, this the stench, the smell. And the guy was with me, said, hey, man, he said, rub your finger in your ear. And I said, what? He said, just put your finger in your ear. And I just went like that. And my Caucasian finger was as black as that speaker. Why? Because of what was in the air. Why? Because of the sacrifices that were being burned, the bodies that were being burned. And sacrifices were constantly given to false gods. And that's the way Smyrna was. Smyrna was a beautiful city. You can see the coast in the background there, the blue sky, the theater sitting on the Aegean Sea coast. But it was a city that was known for pagan worship. So as you walk around Smyrna, you understand that the smoke in the air is from the sacrifices that are being made. Human bodies, animals, everything you can think of, sacrifices are made. So smoke continuously whirls upward into the air from the altars of sacrifice that were made continually. And believers were executed in this city. You see that theater? That theater would be filled to capacity with 20,000 people. What were they going to watch? The Super Bowl? No, not such a thing. They were going to watch as Christians were placed in the middle. And gladiators would do their thing, and they would literally run back and forth in their little chariots with their horses. And gladiators would rip the limbs off of Christians, causing them to suffer. They would be mutilated until their death. Christian people, and you can't see it in the picture, but I've seen it up close and personal. Under that stadium was a storage area for the lions. And many times believers, especially children of believers, would be placed in the middle out there in the middle of that field. and Christians would be brought to a point of decision. Will you renounce Christ? Will you tell me that you do not believe that Jesus is the way? And if they wouldn't renounce their faith or recant on their decision to serve Jesus, then the doors were open and the lions would go out there and chew up their children. Here we are in the 21st century acting stupid about the church. Here we are in the 21st century arguing over carpet color and whether we should have lights and smoke or whether we shouldn't. Here we are in the 21st century wondering whether or not we should dress in a suit or I like him better in a tie. What difference does it make? Here we are in the 21st century talking about stupid stuff when if you do a little studying and do a little reading, you'll discover that people have paid a tremendous price for faith. We don't hardly pay anything today. In fact, we're given just kind of the luxury of making a decision. Do I go to church or do I not go to church? But can I just tell you something? Every time the church in the Bible that I read, every time the church grew, it was because the church had been through a tremendous amount of persecution and struggle. Well, I'm not into that. Well, you don't have to be into it. I'm just telling you the biblical record is the church undergoes hardship and difficulty, and the result is tremendous growth. You know, it's wonderful when you come in here and you worship and you smile and you bless the pastor and, oh, we got such a great church. Can I just tell you something? This is how I fight my battles. Can I just tell you that behind the scenes, you've got leaders who are on the front lines. Behind the scenes, you've got intercessors who are standing in the gap. Behind the scenes, we have stuff to deal with that we pray never reaches your ears. It don't have to reach your ears. The struggles that we face, the challenges that we go through, somebody's got to stand in the gap. Somebody's got to stand in the gap. The church is not just, you know, tiptoe through the tulips. The Christian life is not just tiptoe through the tulips and everything's wonderful. Oh, I pray it is, but what if it isn't? I pray that every day I get up, God, keep me safe today. Watch over me every mile that I travel, every place that I go. Go before me, be my rear guard, be the glory and the lifter of my head. But what if it's not a good day? Does it mean that God's failed you? No. God will not fail you. He's never left me yet. I love when they sing that song. And he's not going to leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes you find yourself in difficult struggles as a believer trying to balance this whole thing out we call life. Dr. Chuck Swindoll said it well. He said, life is really 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. And so we discover that all things work together for what? Good to them that love the Lord. I wonder how Smyrna felt. The church at Smyrna. The church that had faced tremendous difficulty. What was it like being in the church at Smyrna? Well, I already told you, believers were executed. So why would you want to join up something that's going to cost you your life? Believers were executed. People sit in the stands and watch them. In addition, Christians tied. I was reading about this all week. I've studied all week about the church at Smyrna. A bishop by the name of Polycarp who followed on the heels of Paul. Man burned at the stake. That means he was placed near a pile of wood. Step up on the wood, Polycarp, and they stretch your arms out after the manner of your Savior. Stretch your arms out! And they don't nail him to a cross. They wrap his arms around the cross. And he stands there. And he's given an opportunity, one last opportunity while people are watching. Do you believe in Jesus? And the answer was yes. And so they ignited the fire and they burned him at the stake. They ignited. Can I tell you something? Those guys paved the way for where you are today. Those guys paved the way for where you are today. And Paul, led of the Holy Ghost, led of the Spirit of God, plants a church in Smyrna. He goes in the midst of an area that really, listen, you need to stay away from there. Talk to any preacher who's been in a tough spot in his ministry before. Man, you want to go where? Well, God's called me to Russia. You want to go where? Well, God's called me to, you know, I got friends in the ministry who serve in the Middle East. You want to serve in the Middle East? You want to serve in the capital cities of the Muslim faith? But if God calls you there, guess what? That's where you need to be. And Paul establishes ministry in Smyrna. Smyrna, that city that was literally a monument to a goddess by the name of Cybele. She was worshipped. She was adored. Idols were available for Cybele all along the streets. And the strange teaching was that Cybele's youthful lover, Attis, was unfaithful to her. And in a mad rage, Attis was mutilated and he bled to death. And following this, homage is paid to Cybele. Hail to Cybele. Worship Cybele. And it resulted in a strange sexual deviation. Male castrations were abundant. Self-mutilation. In addition, Smyrna was popular because, you see, when people came to Smyrna on ships, sailors, ship workers, people that were serving on that ship to unload, to reload, when they had their downtimes, they would go into the city, because in Smyrna, there were three large bathhouses available. I'm talking bathhouses where, I'm not talking about like a little sauna where one or two people can sit and talk about their workout. I'm talking about a bathhouse where hundreds of people sit and exchange lewd sexual behavior in the bathhouse together. You go to Israel with me and you can see it. Just little concrete stools. Walk into a building and there's 100 of these little seats sitting there where everybody just got naked and bathed together. And you know the rest of the story. Three of these places were on the coast of this city named Smyrna. Three of these places were the ship workers and the soldiers and all the people aboard, while the ship was being unloaded and unloaded, they could just run around Smyrna and have at it. Prostitution was abounding in Smyrna. And Paul has the mandate from the Holy Spirit. Take the gospel there. And can I just tell you something? Wherever you take the gospel, guess what? People are going to get saved. People are going to get born. People's lives are going to be transformed. And in this city of perversion, this city of paganism, Paul the apostle and his ministry team establish a church, preach Jesus, build a foundation of believers, and begin to disciple them. And they were successful. They may not have felt like it. And whenever you preach the gospel, no matter what level of perversion, the gospel is going to advance. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never die. And signs and wonders follow the what? The proclamation of the word. They saw tremendous things happen in this pagan city, in this perverted city. Let's look at what Jesus says to this second on the list of seven churches. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died, the one who came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you're rich. I can hear Jesus saying this. I know your afflictions, I know your poverty, but you're rich. I know about the slander of those who say they're Jews and they're really not. Rather, Jesus says they're really of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Don't you kind of not like the prophecies of Jesus? Listen to what he says. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for telling me that I'm getting ready to go through a rough spot. I tell you, the devil put some of you in prison to test you, and you're going to suffer persecution for 10 days. But Jesus says what? Be faithful. Oh, by the way, even to the point of death. And I'll give you life as your victor's crown. And whoever has ears, Jesus says, as he walks among the seven churches, and here he's at Smyrna, and whoever has ears to hear this, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, and the one who's victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Look at verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, the one who died and came to life again. Jesus speaks to the angel of the church. This is the what? This is the pastor. This is a pastor just like myself. If God's got a message to send to the church, you know who he's going to speak to? He's going to speak to the pastor. So the pastor says, hey, I feel led in my spirit to have a Jonathan Shuttlesworth or a or a Fred Felton or a Kim Norris or somebody like that to come. If God's going to speak to the church, he's going to speak through the pastor. The pastor prays and feels, God, have this person, God, have that person. Then God's going to speak through the pastor's leadership. This is the second time that Jesus speaks a specific message to a pastor whose responsibility was then to deliver the message to the congregation that Christ had placed under his care of this place, Smyrna. This is a demonstration of divine order. If you want a good book to read on divine order and authority, you ought to read John Bevere's book, Under Authority. You have a different respect for Christian leaders if you read that. Under Authority. Undercover. Before the head of the church, Christ himself, addresses the local congregation with a rebuke or with a correction or even an exhortation. Congratulations. He first addresses the pastor, his messenger, to that particular congregation. And the point is very important here because it reveals just how Christ feels about his gifts to the body. It reveals how Christ respects and honors those whom he set in authority. And he doesn't bypass the divine order that he's established. Even if he knows that that pastor that he's speaking to is going to reject what God says, he still speaks. Even if Christ already knows that the pastor doesn't have ears to hear, he's not going to circumvent the chain of authority that he established himself in the church. So Jesus speaks to the angel. And in this verse, Jesus cites the authority that he's given as God in the flesh. And he said, I'm the first and I'm the last. He takes his authority as the one who's what? Eternally existent. No beginning, no end. Remember what John said of him? The same one who wrote this book of Revelation, John said of him in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing that was made that has been made. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Listen, Jesus didn't begin in John chapter 1. Jesus didn't begin in a little town of Bethlehem. Jesus began in the beginning of all beginnings. He's always been. He's eternally existent. In the beginning, he's always been there. So Christ says to this angel, this pastor at the Smyrna church, I've always been. I always will be. I'm first, I'm last. Okay? You need to understand, if you're going into ministry, you still submit yourself to a tremendous authority, and that is the authority of the Holy Spirit and the work of God in your life. He adds, I'm the one who died and came to life again. It's what we celebrate today as Christians, as we come together in houses of worship. We're here to celebrate Jesus Christ, not Wallace Phillips. Thank you for the birthday wishes, but there's a person who deserves more honor, more glory than any man will ever reserve, and that is Jesus Christ himself. We're here to celebrate him. Every time we gather, he's the founder. He's the only one who's still alive. All other founders of religions are dead. And Jesus is the only one who's resurrected from the dead. You know, it's a wonderful thing when Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. But there's something different in raising someone from the dead and resurrecting from the dead. Resurrecting is when you come up out of the grave yourself. And you know what Jesus said about his life? He said in John chapter 10, I believe it's verse 18, he says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again. He said, this command I receive from my Father. What I want you to see is that Jesus is establishing authority here with this pastor, and he speaks to this pastor as the leader of the Smyrna church. I'm first, I'm last, I'm the one who's dead, now I'm alive, and I'm walking through your church, and I'm ready to talk to you about your church. Verse number 9, he says, I know your afflictions. I know your poverty. I know your afflictions. He uses two words to talk to them about their condition. I know your afflictions, and I know your poverty. The word afflictions here in the Greek is interesting. It's the word phlipsis. He says, I know your afflictions. This word is strong. I know your afflictions. You know, affliction can be if you got hit on the baseball field with a baseball and you got a black eye. That's an affliction. An affliction is I've had flu for 2 weeks now. That's an affliction. But this word affliction in the original language is a stronger word than a black eye or the flu. He said, I know your afflictions. I know your phlipsis. It is the idea of a victim being tied up and bound, laid face down, and a huge boulder is dropped upon their back to crush them. Can I just tell you, that's what the devil's design is for you? To tie you up, to afflict you, to put you face down and drop the boulder of your life that you've never seen before upon your back and destroy you. Jesus said it himself. He said, the thief comes only to do what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So Jesus says to this church, I know your afflictions. I know you're trying to lead this group of disciples that you've gathered in Smyrna. And I know what it feels like for you. You feel like you're laying down on your face. You look at the paganism. You see the sacrifices. You look at the sexual perversion that's prevalent here in these three huge bathhouses. And you're wondering, what are we doing here? Jesus says, I know where you are. I know the struggle. There are many ministers in our church. Always we're blessed with preachers. There are preachers sitting in this building right now that have pastored churches that are undesirable. You try and you try and you try and you try and you can't get a crowd together. I pastored one like that one time. And it's frustrating. But if I had it to do over again, you know what I'd do? I'd pastor the same church. Why? Because I was given an opportunity to go through the school of hard knocks. And you learn best by what? By doing. I know pastors that have given their heart, they've given their life, they've sacrificed financially, and they've struggled, and they've had hardships and difficulty, but they're at the right place at the right time doing the right thing, and God is fashioning in them a work and desire that he has to prepare them for the things that are to come. You don't always have to sacrifice. There's a time that comes when you get to reap a harvest. I thank God. You know, there. Listen, when we came in here 27 years ago, there were 12 people here. 12 people here, one building. You back guys that are sitting back there in the back row, right back here, you're sitting in my office. Those of you that are sitting back here behind Dylan, the light tech, you're sitting in the secretary's office. Those of you that are over here, you're in the nursery. And that was the choir room right over there. And the upstairs balcony, people that are seated there, you know where you're sitting? You're sitting in the fellowship hall. Because things change, and God had a plan. And we've been through two building programs, and thank God. But guess what? It didn't start that way. When it started, it was one building, one sanctuary, this size, with 12 people sitting in it. And you try and you try, and pastors have gone to places and given their heart, given their lives, given their service, sacrificed financially, and preach and preach and teach and model, and it doesn't grow. That's challenging. And Jesus says, you know what? I know your afflictions. I know that you feel like while you're serving here, you're face down, boulder getting ready to drop on you and destroy you, and you're bound up. But he says, yet I say that you're rich. Because you're steadfast. You're rich because you're faithful. You're rich because you didn't quit. See? He says also, he says, I know your poverty. There are two Greek words for poverty here in the original language. One of them is penia. It means poor. Jesus said you'll always have the poor with you. It means that you're among the lower class of working people. You have just get-by jobs, minimum wage. And that's where you are. You've been working 40 years. What are you making? $10 an hour. Let that sink in for a second. You're doing what you feel like you should be doing, but for you it seems like it's only just minimum wage. Well, that's okay. God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet your needs. Maybe that's just where you are in life. Maybe you've not believed for better. Maybe not. I don't know. But he says, listen, there's penia, there's poor, there's people who just take the get-by jobs. But that's not the word here. There's another word, tokian, which means extremely poor. That means you don't have a minimum wage job. That means you're out there on the street going through the dumpsters to see if there's any crumb in there that you might eat. I've seen people do this when I went to India. I saw people sitting on the trash piles. They don't have dumpsters. They just pile it up. And I've seen women and children. I've seen moms sitting there on the pile, scraping through the rubbish and scraping through the garbage to find a morsel to put in their lips. That's who he's talking about. He says, you are desperate. You are experiencing abject poverty. You're broke. You're busted. You're impoverished. What's he talking about? He's not talking about a literal sense of this way, but he's talking about how the church feels. We are here trying to have a church in the midst of all this paganism and ungodliness. We feel like we're broke. We feel like we're busted. We feel like we don't have anything to eat. Where are you, Lord? You ever felt like that? Where are you, Lord? The poverty doesn't come from the fact that they're just poor people from this region, but their poverty has been inflicted upon them because of persecution, because of affliction, and because of robbery. In other words, the Smyrna church people feel like this ungodliness and this paganism and these demonic strongholds have literally stripped them of their effectiveness as a church. But Jesus says, you're rich. Well, thank you, Lord. Remember, he's the one who's walking among them. Remember, he's the one who has the authority, was dead and came back to life again. He's the one who founded a church. So he's the one who has the final and true assessment of what the church really is. And Jesus is commending this church, saying, you're wealthy with the grace of God. Man, you are wealthy in spiritual gifts and your operation of the church. You're wealthy in your mercy that you offer to those who come to the Smyrna church. You're rich. And you would think that their persecutors would be those who were practicing paganism. Hang with me here. You would think that the ones who were persecuting, the ones who were putting them out there in the ring and letting the lions devour their children, you would think that the ones who were doing the persecuting are those people who are sexually perverted and those people who are burning sacrifices and worshiping this false god. Not so. Who is it that's doing the persecuting? Well, look at the verse. I know about the slander of those who say they're Jews. But what does Jesus say about them? They're not. He says, let me tell you what their credentials are. They belong to the church of Satan. Dressed all up in their piety. Dressed all up, looking good, looking all churchy. But he said, really, they're of the synagogue of Satan. Who was doing the persecuting? Who was doing the cruel behavior? Who was doing the beating? Who was doing the burning? Jewish people. Jewish people. Better yet, let me remind you that when we go to Israel, we're very careful on the Sabbath day. Shabbat starts at 5 o'clock on Friday. Sundown is 5 o'clock on Friday to sundown on Saturday, 5 o'clock. Very careful. Be careful going through Orthodox communities because you just might get shot. Because you don't walk past my house on the Sabbath day. You don't get in your car and ride by my yard and say, oh, nice house. Boom! Why? Because it's the Sabbath. Stay inside. Don't do anything. Don't even write your name with a pen. That's being too creative. You rest on the Sabbath. You say, people do that? Yes. The Orthodox Jews will persecute you. Even if you're a person of faith, they'll persecute you. He says, I know about the slander of those who say they're Jews and are not. They're of the synagogue of Satan. So these are hostile Jews with satanic credentials. Paganism and ungodliness in Smyrna has affected this church, but when it comes to the persecution that they're facing, it comes from the Jewish people. Verse 10 and 11, but don't you be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you for sending an email telling me how rough a week it's going to be. Don't you be afraid of what you're about to suffer, I tell you. And here's the one who gave us his credentials and his authority before he even started. I'm the first and the last. I'm everything in between. I was dead, but I got up from the grave. Okay, do you think he knows what he's talking about? He says this. I tell you, man, the devil's going to put some of you in prison to test you, and you'll suffer persecution for 10 days. But you just be faithful. Even unto the point of death. Even if you find yourself in the ring, even if you find yourself standing down there in the theater looking up at the bleachers, be faithful unto death. Remember that little girl who was in the library? Cassie was her name. Back in the school shootings. Remember that years ago? She got in the library, and she was a part of a vibrant, active Bible study on the campus of the high school. Cassie Bernal was her name. And she got up under the desk when that young, brutal teen came in. And she's nestled up under the desk, and he points a gun at her, and she says, "Do you believe in God?" And fresh from the effectiveness of a Bible study on that campus and connected to a vital discipleship group, she says, "Yes, I believe in God." Boom! And he kills her. Can you be faithful unto death? Could you stand for faith and still say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus"? Jesus says, "Listen, you need to do this. Even if it means you're under the desk in the library and the gun is pointed at you, you be faithful. Because if you do, I'll give you life as your victor's crown." And then he bothers to tell us, if you got ears to hear this, you need to hear it. Because the one who's victorious, you're not going to be hurt by the second death, which is the lake of fire. You're not going to be bothered that. That's not where you're going. You're going on the streets of gold and the walls of jasper. You're going to that place, a place that I've prepared for you. That's where you're going. Man, it must have been tough to be in the Smyrna church. To feel like you're just trying and trying and trying and serving and serving and serving, and you feel like you're not getting anywhere, and all the persecution that's taking place in your city and all of the sacrifices taking place in your city. But you're just called to do the same thing that they were called to do. Be faithful. Be faithful. He gets specific. He says the devil's going to come and he's going to get you. And he's going to throw you into prison to test you for 10 days. Scholars have been divided on this 10 days. What is the 10 days? What it really mean? Is it a literal 10 days? Is it 10 seasons of persecutions by other emperors like Nero and Domitian and Trajan and Adrian? Who knows? Some say it's a figure of speech. That 10 days could be as long as 250 years. I mean, we casually say things in our vernacular, like maybe you're working on something. You say to your son, "Hey, bring me that wrench." And it takes him a while. And you say, "Hey, anytime tomorrow is fine." So we joke about time. What's really meant by this 10-day period? Who knows, and really does it matter? All that really matters is he says, "I don't care how long it is. I want you to be what? Faithful." The good news in all of this is for the Smyrna church is that their persecution does come to a close. There's an end. There's a stopping point. I remember when Pastor Joy and I were coming along in the ministry. I remember with pride how I said to people, "I'm going into the ministry." I remember living in that little mobile home in the woods. I remember Joshua was 10 months old. I remember just saying, "We're going into the ministry." We're excited about going into the ministry. And it's like the devil said, "Oh, you are?" And we were broken into. My mom and dad are here today. They remember that. We were broken into. Stole everything we had in the house. I had to go to the store the next day to get Pastor Joy some clothes. All we said was, "We're going into the ministry." I remember coming home one day. We lived out in the country and we liked it that way. We had chickens and we had guineas. We lived out in the country. We had our own pigs. We had everything. We had it just like we wanted it in the woods. And I remember coming home one day, and I remember three of my chickens were bloody and laying on the doorstep. They just killed them and shed the blood and laid it on my doorstep. And I remember going out to the chicken pen. We had 18 total. I remember going out to the chicken pen, and the other 15 were dead too. Seemed like every two or three days something was happening. All I said was, "I'm going into the ministry." Remember coming home one day, and you know, in those days we didn't have a dryer. We hung our clothes out on the line. Clothespins. I remember coming home one day and our clotheslines poles were cut, and the lines were cut and the poles were bent to the ground like that. Like, ha ha ha. It just seems like everything was happening, and we were just in the fire. In the testing, in the season of, are you sure you're going into the ministry? Pastor Joy got some obscene phone calls, and the FBI agent, Dwight Ransom, have y'all remember Dwight Ransom? Dwight Ransom was sitting in my 14 by 70 mobile home, which I was proud of, sitting at my table fingerprinting Pastor Joy and me. We had to get elimination prints. Our prints were on the things that were stolen, so they had to eliminate ours and only use the prints that were other prints. We're sitting there, and we're talking to Dwight Ransom, and he's fingerprinting because crazy things are happening in our lives, and all we said was, we're going into the ministry. Young couple, 10-month-old child. We're sitting there at the table, and the phone rings. Dwight says, hold on, Joy, hold. He says, okay, answer it. And it was the same caller that had been calling for weeks now with obscene phone calls to my wife. And when she's on the phone and he's doing his thing, and Dwight has made arrangements for that to be traced, boom, we hear this noise. What in the world is that? I look over, look out the window. I had just purchased a 1983 K car. How many of you remember the K car? Well, the K car was a desirable car for us because on the front seat, and you could do this in those days, you can't do it anymore. On the front seat, it had a full bench seat. And you could put little Josh there on the front. So we had a K car. We hadn't even made the first payment. We got approved and had our car. And guess what happened to that car? The top half of an oak tree. I don't know how it happened. The top half gets picked up and turned this way and boom! And crushed our K car. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate this. I'm still going into the ministry. Okay? It seems like everywhere we turned to say, Lord, we're going to answer your call, the devil had put something out there in front of us to discourage us. But the good thing is, it was over in 10 days. Not literally. But there was a season when it came to a close, Pastor Travis. And that season was it felt like God just lifted that off of us and no more struggles. We were enjoying preaching away and enjoying singing the gospel in music. And we were enjoying the things that we were doing for the kingdom's sake. We went to a nursing home on the second Sunday of every month. And we ministered, as Mother Jenny does, on a faithful basis every month in what was then known as Winslow's Memorial Home. My father-in-law is there today as a patient. We did everything we could do to fulfill God's call on our lives. And in doing that, there was a season that was not so good. Listen, I hope you understand something. Every day that I get up, I ask God for blessing. Every day that I get up, today's going to be a good day. God, I just thank you that every place I put my foot, you're going to give me. I thank you, God, for blessing, anointing, and peace, and prosperity. And most of the time, that's what I experience. But sometimes, somebody say sometimes. Sometimes God allows, and if you haven't understood that whole theology, read the book of Job, you'll get a different understanding. Sometimes God allows us to go through things. And Peter says it like this as I come to a close. Peter says it like this. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. I'm quoting King James. Sorry about that. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to test you as though some strange thing were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of the sufferings of Christ. I've got King James down in my spirit all these years. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Somebody say fiery. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you as though something strange. Car destroyed, chickens killed, clotheslines destroyed. Even shot my dog. I forgot to tell you that. Killed my dog. Laid him on the front of the porch. Verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I learned obedience through the things that I suffered. So that you may be overjoyed when the 10 days is over. So that you may rejoice, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Okay? See, too many people give up in the midst of the hardship. Are y'all hearing me here? Too many people just say, you know, I'm not serving God. Why should I serve God if he's going to allow all this stuff to happen to me? No, don't you give up. Don't you give up. Sometime you may give up before the angel is released and God has sent relief for you. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Gethsemane means what? Olive press. Squeeze. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says, in fact, I like the way Mark says it. Mark's just a plain guy like from Juan Cheese. He says, Jesus sweat as if drops of blood were falling to the ground. He just says it in a plain spoken way. He says he sweat and drops of blood fell to the ground. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says, if you read the narrative, the Bible says, behold, angels came and attended to him. How many times do you and I get up in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a difficult season, and get out of here? Because if this is what serving God's all about, I'm done. When if you'd have just stayed the course, he would have said, hey, angel, go down to Gethsemane and relieve my son. Behold, angels came and attended to him. The Bible says angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. And so, even in the midst of your difficulty, all the way around you are the angelic beings that God has placed. And he has the authority to dispatch them and say, it's over. God's in control. You say, well, man, that doesn't seem very fair. No, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are nothing to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Listen, I can tell you, I can attest to this. Have you been through some hard times, Pastor Wallace, in your 48 years, excuse me. Have you been through some hard times in your 58 years? Yes. But I can tell you one thing I've seen. I've seen that the Lord is the Lord, is the Lord, is the Lord. And he's in control of everything that happens in my life. And there's been some challenging things, but I can tell you this. I thank God that I serve a God who loves me, and he's never given up on me. And he's in charge of the first and the last and everything in between. God is a faithful God. If you know him to be faithful, stand up on your feet right now and just begin to give him praise and adoration in this house. Come on, worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you've been faithful. God, you said that's enough. And you sent an angel to get me out of it. And you did the same thing for the Smyrna church. They were feeling defeated. They were feeling broken, busted, and impoverished and afflicted. But you said, you are rich. You are wealthy in my grace. You're wealthy in my favor. You're wealthy in my anointing. If you're here today, listen, pastors, come. Preachers, come. I need your help. Come on, step out. If you're a minister of the gospel, come on, help me here. Step out. Line up across the front of this altar area here. If you're here today and you feel like you're in the fire, I want you to step out of your seat. You feel some uncertainties in your life. You feel like, you know, God, I've tried, and it seems like I'm in one of those 10-day seasons. I've just tried. I just don't know what to do. Come on, step forward here. Stretch out, guys. Stretch out. Stretch out all across the altar here. Just come. Slip out of your seat. Someone will pray with you and agree with you today. Come on, I know you're here. I know you're struggling. I know hardship is there. I know difficult seasons are there. Listen, let the same God that sustained me sustain you. Let the same God that sustained the church at Smyrna sustain you today. Let the same God that loves you with an everlasting love redeem you out of where you are right now. Just let someone pray with you and agree with you. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor Josh.
Here's Jesus.
you need healing, whatever you need, just come.
Evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere.
Come on now.
The atmosphere is changing now.
Come on, let God touch you today.
For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
With your love, Surround. about the rest of your week, that you remember that, that no matter what happens, no matter what you're facing, that it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. Just remember, you're surrounded by a God who loves you and by his angel army who's protecting you. Just keep your faith in the Lord this week. God, thank you for bringing us here, God. We thank you for your worship that we felt in this place, God. Thank you for your presence, Lord. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, God. Lord, we ask that you protect us and keep us and bring us all back together next week to worship you again, Lord. God, I pray that you just keep our minds focused on you at all times, Lord. Let us not get distracted, God. Hallelujah. Let us hang on to your promise, God. Because all your promises are yes and amen. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise.